sorry guys for being delayed, but this is a bit more experimental than my release talk. The release talk was just on time. This one is like a bit delayed, but experimental does that quite too often, so I hope you have some understanding of that. So, yeah, but about experimental distribution, we have in Debian 4 or 5 major distributions. Stable, testing, unstable, we all know them, we all use them more or less often. Our users all complain about them, but that's the usual ones. We have another distribution that's called experimental, and in experimental you can just upload packages that are not meant to go to testing. The great advantage of experimental is, if you upload anything, you definitely won't break our testing migration. So speaking from a release standpoint, I'm very, very happy that experimental exists. Of course, in some cases, if you have just a leaf code that nobody else uses, you can of course use unstable as a staging area, but if you have a nice library, for example, if you're a KDE maintainer, you better not upload the version 3.3 to unstable, then you declare a deep freeze, which somebody just did. But he's not KDE maintainer anymore, so it's not so bad. So, yeah, but for experimental, our usual build daemons, they just build packages in old stable security, in stable security, in stable proposed updates, of course, in testing proposed updates, and in unstable. Well, this is of course not the optimal thing, because if you want to stage something experimental, you perhaps want to see how the build daemons behave on staging that. So we started through this building packages in experimental in, I think, August last year. We actually started only with, I think, about four architectures, but now we are up to, to 11 architectures. I don't think, IMD64, I'm not so sure if that's also built, but all the other architectures just build the usual things. It's one thing where experimental is actually much easier to build than unstable, because if the build daemons are somehow broken, nobody really complains. Of course, they start complaining if they're broken for more than 3 weeks, but nobody will notice if they're broken for 1 week. If the same would happen with unstable, we all know what would happen in Debian Level. So it's actually also, not only for the package, but also for me, was a very good chance to learn to know how the tool chains work, how the build daemons work, how the runner build works, all the small stuff. Now I'm using the knowledge that I've learned for auto-building volatile, for auto-building testing security. So I think that will help us a lot. Just for how the experimental auto-building usually works, we have a runner build located in the University of Darmstadt. Just the same runner build software that actually is used on ULEP for the usual Debian packages. After each mirror push, we have also a push secondary mirror on the University of Darmstadt right now. And as soon as this mirror is updated by the mirror push, it pushes the runner build to update its package database. Then it makes the usual comparison. Usual comparison means it runs squin-diff, which takes the packages file, the source file, looks which packages are there, which packages need to be built. The packages need to be built, go into the runner build database. The build demons ask runner build and say, okay, what should I build? Runner build, and then the build demons start building it. There are 2 or 3 additional issues connected with auto building experimental. For unstable, everything is quite easy. You can build a package, you can upload it, it's fair. It can depend on anything that's already unstable. For experimental, that wouldn't be too good, because, for example, if there's a new libc version in experimental, which has happened sometimes during the last release cycle, and the auto builders will build against that version in experimental, which has had a SHIP bump, anybody who wants to install the package is then forced to install the experimental new libc, which is perhaps not what we really want. So, for that reason, our build daemon, or at the very beginning, our build daemon just started to only build the experimental packages in unstable. So that means if they have any build dependencies, it needs to be possible that unstable fulfills them, otherwise the build fails. now there have been some testing of changes, that means especially Wouter has done some code changes. Hi Wouter, by the way, you just came in. Has done some code changes to build D, so that the build team will notice, oh, now I need something from experimental to build against, so I install it from experimental, but only what is really needed from the build dependencies. This works now quite fine, but of course there's a second problem connected with that. For example, if an UShip build daemon gets a build dependency on UFMovesCC version, it just installs the UFMovesCC version and it's there. It's never uninstalled because it's build essential. If that would happen with experimental, well, yeah, one could do it, but have a lot of fun with that. For that reason, you need the usual purging of the change root with just purging packages. Doesn't work as expected. So, for example, well, one thing that I use on one of my build daemons is I have two change roots and I async them back after finishing the build. Disadvantage is, of course, you need more space. And on some architectures, space is really a limiting factor. And by the way, async is not perhaps not the fastest program in the world on some architectures. So other ideas that is currently being tried at is to use LVM snapshots. That would be really, really funny to just make a snapshot, build it if you're done, just unroll the snapshot, or roll it back to the last snapshot. Yeah, I think that are just things we're still working on. Auto-building experimental is definitely not something where I would say it all works, it's all done, but it's more something where we are working it, where we can try new things. I think we have been, well, in my opinion, auto-building experimental works better than I expected, but it doesn't mean that everything works. But on the other hand side, I think it's really nice to have some staging area in Debian to try out build daemon patches, to try out vanilla build patches, without the great danger that your first try breaks just unstable. Okay, so I think that was now enough for some introduction to the topic, and I think it should be more, it's a boardroom talk, so I think it should more like a discussion topic, yeah?
Immer auf die andere Seite, just switch the tabs.
Ah, okay. Yeah. Yeah, of course, what also exists is, of course, the database of the build logs, the usual build logs. Said, okay, I was asked for Martin to go on the other page, and Solimar just asked me to repeat that, so I did it. Yeah, so there we are. So we take more or less the same software that's used on build Debian org to show the build logs that are produced. You see, still there are a lot of fails. For example, if you go in the first package fails, here is a TTEC bin one for EA64. Yeah, I should take the direct link to it. So, well, I already know why it failed. I don't even need to look at it, because I definitely need something newer than it should be. Here it installs very fine. Beating all the Perl ones. Okay, that's something. Except, okay. Where does the moving the Pershing start? So that is what I expected. Here TTEC base is just not what it should be, because it's not from experimental, but from unstable. So that's actually the most common build failure. And with the patch I just said that Wouter has been working on, that we're working quite successfully, this kind of problem is solved, because then in this case, TTEC base would have been taken from experimental. And that's also a second thing that helps, because you see here, the build daemons just set up the packages that they can get hold of and notice after the fact, oh, damn, there's something missing here. Of course, and Wouter's patch just makes a check first, so if there's something really missing, it just says, oh, there was something missing, I didn't try.
The original version of the patch didn't indeed do that, but it has some other issues. So with the version right now, then that bug is again being introduced, so it now works again like this.
Okay, so I repeat the audience now. So Wouter just said that was the case with one of the test versions I tested a lot of one of my build daemons, but it's not the thing with the current version. but unfortunately my current time schedule is still affected by the release of Sarge, because I didn't catch up with all of the mails. So my victim does this, but the current solution that works best in a lot of other regards don't do it. I hope to see that one also running there soon in one of my big demons, and then, for example, this package would have been worked. So I think now it's time for discussion, for questions on you. Who wants to make the start? The keynote question? So, any of you? Okay, yeah.
What percentage of experimental builds successfully versus not building successfully?
I guess that may depend a bit on what is currently experimental. Okay, first I will repeat the question, of course. Please put the sign up here. I will still ignore it, but never mind. The question is which percentage of builds in experimental are successful and which is not. So the answer is it depends a bit on what is currently in experimental. And what kind of failures. We have the one failure like in this case, where we just say it can't build for the reasons that that it wouldn't need experimental to build it in, what we don't do for the dependency reasons. I guess that is something between 10% and 70%. Depending on which time. For example, at the time where GNOME 2.8 was an experimental, GNOME has a lot of packages, and they all depended on some GNOME library that was on an experimental. Yeah, a lot of things failed. It failed so much that even considered to go to any of my change routes, just install the library package from experimental, and then try to rebuild. if we take structural failures aside, I guess that about 5 to 10% of the packages fail for the usual reasons that are forgotten dependencies, package only builds on the maintainer system, all the kind of stuff that you see also in unstable. And if I see such bugs, I file usually as C-bugs, tagged with experimental, so that the maintainer is encouraged to fix it. Because usual maintainers don't see it by themselves, except you tell him, well, there is. Or if the maintainer tell you, oh, your package is still missing, my package is still missing, why didn't you build it? Then I tried to, but you didn't do it right. Okay, next question, please.
It's kind of a follow-up question. Do you know approximately how much is experimental actually used? I mean, how many packages are in experimental?
The question was, how much is experimental really used? I can't say that number is currently now in, and I don't have my Debian tools that here on the question, otherwise the question would be difficult to answer. But my feeling also from what I see from the build logs is that the usage of experimental has been decreased very much in the last 5 weeks, for obvious reasons. It was used very, very much before the release. There was apt-06 installed in experimental, which a lot of people installed on their systems, because that's a secure apt. Even now, a lot of people have secure apt from unstable just installed on their Sarge systems. Also, it was used very, very much for the GNU-CC transition that is working right now, because there have been prior uploads of GNU-CC 4.0. But that package was too large for us to build in some architecture, so some just failed for lack of disk space. OpenOffice is even worse. Now you're laughing about it. So I think it's really of some use, and it's of very large use to really see, okay, I have some especially if you have a rather easy package, like a normal library that depends on things is unstable, you can upload it and see, does it work on everything, whatever architecture or not, before you break some transition to testing. So, okay, Wouter just said there are currently 202 packages in the database, so I think that's a fair share. Okay, next one, please.
Just in addition to your...
if you do an addition, please come here, I don't want to repeat it.
addition to what Andy just said, that we are running out of disk space, that problem should be solved very soon, because we got promised that we will get some more disk space the next week, so.
Yeah. Well, Peter just noticed that probably in his basement there's some just some lying around, and you can put them in and just send them over to us. So, well, we all know he has a great basement with a lot of computers. It will just extract two hard disks from there. Yeah, but that's something also, well, you also, really, it taught me a lot of things about running build daemons. And, for example, for getting this testing security thing, is also, with prior to the release of Sarge, getting testing security, the change loads up, and now revitalizing security dev.org. Really, this auto-building experimental helped us a lot in it, because, well, it just tells you what the issues are, and if somebody comes to you and says, well, this thing doesn't work now with runner build, they say, oh yeah, I know that, I have the same issue before, and the solution is that one. Yeah, that's really a very great way to learn things, and you can't do as much harm as you do if you just do something wrong with upbuilding unstable. So, next one. Don't be as shy, I don't bite.
The heading there said something about upbuilding backports.org. Could you say something more about
that? Oh yeah, of course. Backports.org is supposed to be auto-built. From my point of view, it works. But backports.org archive doesn't use the usual Debian archive kit, but some self-written software. And set one has current, it's problem to accept packages for any architecture except EC86. Also, the maintainer of backports.org is currently taking some vacation. It's of course very okay for him, because shortly after the release, backports.org is not as important as it was this shortly before the release. So that's okay. But the current plan is that Jörg Jaspert Ganev, who is also in the FTP team, and I will install the Debian Archive kit for backports.org. After that is successfully done, we will auto-build backports.org for, well, it depends, something like 11 or 12 architectures. Mm-hmm. Definitely we will auto-build it for PowerPC and for AMD 64, and for the architectures we have enough disk space in the University of Darmstadt, and well, Mipsel probably also, and for the others, it depends on the build demon admin. One thing I really should say is I'm not doing all this work myself. I'm just doing the runner build and doing some of the build daemons. Another build daemon is the one for M68K, is run by Router. And another build daemon is run by Kenji Muto, the one for ARM. So that's really... the other build daemons that I run are not really run by me in every aspect. Most of them are located in the University of Darmstadt. And a more or less maintained local admin is more Lev Martin. For the Mipsel build daemon, that's maintained by Alfie as local admin, and it's located in the rack next to one of the official ARM build daemons. It's also something, we were able to install the ARM build daemon there because we showed that we can run a build daemon there. So Elmo accepted the place because we have proven that it works. Because I could have said, okay, Emma asked, can we expect problems if there's something goes wrong? I said, well, I don't know if there's something goes wrong, but it runs there for me now for over 9 months without any issue. And they said, okay, we can accept it. So it's just a place where we can really try things very easy. Yeah. Okay, did I miss anything from the answer to the question? Or did I answer all? I just forgot the original question, sorry. It's hard to remember the question and to give a talk and to answer it.
Are there any more questions? Don't be shy.
Yeah. Is there especially want to? About backports.org. But perhaps I should also say what else do we all build on the same build daemon network? On the runner build RSC, there's still 15 minutes we have to fill. originally we started with experimental, since there are some very limited set of unstable packages built on some of the build daemons. Then it says on some build daemons there are packages built said, well, Jörg Jaspert has an experimental deck, Debian R-Type kit installation for new maintainers. And that one is run on some of the build daemons. Especially it's not run on the EA64 build daemon because that one is located in the US and I don't want to crypto export anything from there. Volatile is built on the build daemons network. And we are about to set up some new archive for testing security stuff, and they will probably also build on the same build daemons network, but that's still work going on, and we will publish it as soon as it's there. Okay, you?
I've heard a rumor the experimental Spark build daemon is much faster than the regular Spark build daemon.
Well, that just happens. Well, actually, we offered our build daemon to Elmo. And he promised me to get back to my mail at least at the end of next week. And to really do it this time. Well, but the reason why it's fast is just easy. The University of Darmstadt had a lot of Spark machines that were just standing there, powered off. And of course, we took the fastest of them for the build daemon. Why should we check something lower? Something not as fast as possible. Actually, I really divide my build daemons into two sets. I have some fast and some slow build daemons. And the Spark one is a fast one for me, like the PowerPC or the EA64 one. Slow ones are, for example, the MIPS build daemon I'm running. Or especially slow is the SC90, but that's because it's running in a Hercules emulator. Yeah, next question?
Putting stuff in experimental is obviously nice because you don't have to break stable. Is there some easier way to you still have to wait until the package is picked up and it goes through the install and stuff. Is there some way to get a package auto-built more or less instantly? If you don't want to test something on some obscure architecture, short of mailing Debian admin and getting them to install all these packages?
Yeah, I think don't think there's any way about that currently. It would definitely be nice to have just now a set of auto-builders. You can just say, I upload a source file and I specify for which architecture I want to see how the build log. That would be nice. But I see some danger with that approach also, for the very simple reason that I quite know some people who will just start to upload the same source package as they upload to Unstable. And say, I want for all the architectures that are currently not built, and then they are just uploaded. It would really be nice to be able to do something like that, but yeah, I can do some perhaps places somewhere on my to-do list, but I just need to warn you, there are a lot of positions on my to-do list that are just starving, I don't have a fair scheduler.
Is there any interaction between the build daemon and the BTS? Are bugs closed or tagged fixing experimental and so on?
I will repeat the question first. What is the interaction between experimental and bug tracking system? I will describe perhaps first how it will look like in future, because in future we are about to have version tracking support. Version tracking support is more or less the code is written for version tracking support in the bug tracking system. But I don't expect it to happen faster than in the next 2 months, because the person who should deploy it has just very other real life priorities. That happens sometimes, and one can accept if one knows how long it will take, it's of course fairly okay. So that's okay. And if we have that, a bug will just be marked, okay, this bug is valid for this version of the packet till that version of the packet, and you can have multiple markers, so multiple start end days, like, oh, it started to be that version is stable till that version is stable, and that version in an experimental till that an experimental. So then there will be a very good interaction. The current status is that I upload bugs tagged with experimental, and what Katie does, or all that Katie does, is if you upload something to Unstable, bugs are closed, except if it's an NMU, in that case bugs are marked fixed. If you upload a package to experimental, bugs are marked fixed and experimental if it's a maintainer upload, and are marked fixed if it's a non-maintainer upload. which of course leads to bug reports with a tag experimental and fixed experimental, no other three tag. That happens, but usually the maintainer notices and glows them. If I noticed that some, one of my bugs was set to that state, that was definitely not valid and unstable, then I just close it. But sometimes I just don't notice it, especially if it happens at a day where I just send something like 50 comments to the bug tagging system to just adjust some other SC bugs to abort it, priority or abort things. So, yeah, but it mostly works well. Okay, next one. Okay, if there's no next question, I would just say we could finish a bit early, so we have some more time to please do the next talk. Okay, so I just see now we have 10 minutes left for extended break. Okay, so thank you very much for coming and for asking questions, and I hope we all learned something on that and we get even better with building experimental in the future. Thanks a lot.